So we've been in the series on the armor of God. And Adam, is Adam here tonight? I saw his boys. I didn't see Adam. Adam did a great job 2 weeks ago. Then last week, Stephen, worthy, solid job, the gospel of peace, the shoes. And I've been preparing for this message here tonight on the shield of faith. And in the middle of this paragraph, I noticed a transition that I hadn't seen before. Look at it in verse 16. It says, in addition to all of this. Now, why point that out? Well, in this letter to the Ephesian church, Paul is describing to them that they are a new creation. They're a new creation. Old things have gone away. Ephesians chapter 2, therefore remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth, called uncircumcised by those who called themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Consequently, verse 19, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household. You are a new creation in Christ. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, old things are gone. It is now new. You are a new creation. You're a new person. You were once foreigners. You're now citizens of God's household. And that means that you are a fighter. You're a fighter. Now, we don't fight with each other, okay? Let's be clear on that. But we do war against the devil. Stephen pointed out last week that we are living in enemy territory. I thought that was very important for us to know. We have been enlisted in the army of God, and we are in this battle. We're in this battle together. It's a spiritual battle. And the reality is, whether you realize it or not, or whether you want to or not, you are in the battle. God's chosen you to be His, and He has left you in this world to go make disciples. It's another thing He said. It's the great commission, not the great suggestion, right? It's the great commission. Go make disciples. So if you are assigned to go make disciples, what does that mean? It means you are working and you are fighting against the devil. You are working and fighting for souls that are in jeopardy of spending eternity in hell. That's the fight. That's what we're here to do. Now, you're fighting against the devil. The devil cannot be saved. He cannot be saved, and he wants to take as many souls with him to hell as he can. Doesn't that make you feel good? That you're in this battle and you're fighting against quite the adversary. Now, in the beginning of this passage, Paul says, put on the full armor of God. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand. And after you've done everything, stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We all have this armor at our disposal. It's ours. It's been given to us. You've been enlisted in the battle, and you have been given equipment. You tighten up the belt. Tighten up the belt. Know the truth. Know what God has to say to you and about you. Live the truth. Above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart against the things of this world that can tear you down, and if you're not careful, will take you down. There's enough filth in the world that we're exposed to that we don't need to go seek it out and add it into our lives. So we need to guard our heart. Next, you need to know who's on your team. God is on your team. And not only is he on your team, he is the captain of your team. He's the leader of your team. So even though you've been enlisted in a very difficult situation, a difficult conflict, you need not be afraid because God is on your side. You have peace with God through the gospel, and there's nothing that it can come against you that you don't have somebody right there with you fighting the battle for you. So that's your base equipment. Know the truth, live the truth, and partner with the truth. And then he says this, in addition to all this. It's a transition point. Now, what I would submit to you is this. There will be times when the battle will wage higher. There will be seasons when the battle is harder. The tension is higher. How about a transition time? You are starting a new job. Your hours are heightened. And now all of a sudden you feel like the pressure is there. How about a period of growth, whether it's spiritual growth or personal growth? Things just feel different, don't they? Your relationships get more tense. In the church, when we start new ministries, there's tension that's there. It's heightened. How about seasons of temptation? When those times come, and they will come, then you need additional equipment. Now, the playoffs just started in baseball. Any baseball fans? Okay, I'm a playoff baseball fan. That's it. I don't have patience for 162 games, but I do like the tension of the playoffs. When the team is on the field, what are they wearing? Derek Jeter. There you go. This is just his regular uniform, right? He's got his feet fitted. He's planted. He's standing firm. He's in a correct squat. He's ready to do the deal, right? Okay. What about when they go to bat? Look at the next picture. A different hat on, don't they? He's got something on his foot there to protect him. He has different gloves on his hands. Why? Why does he need that additional protection? Because somebody is about to throw a very hard ball at his head at 90 to 100 miles an hour. The tension is heightened. And in the playoffs, every pitch matters. You cannot convince me that in a 162-game season that every pitch counts. It doesn't. But in the playoffs, every pitch counts. We're in the playoffs. You realize that? We are in a battle for souls. And we have a giant target. You know, bummer of the birthmark, right? You remember the deer with the... Man, that's who we are. That is who we are. We're in a battle. It says this, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the 90 to 100 mile an hour fastballs that are going to be coming right through your grill. We've picked a fight with the devil by starting this church. We've actually picked a fight with the devil by taking on Halloween. I mean, I was thinking about that today as I was preparing for this. Many, many Christians have a problem with Halloween, and I understand that. I get that. Just drive about two blocks that way and start looking at the houses that have decorated for Halloween, and then look at your Bible and see what lines none of it does. And I get that. That's why, for the most part, Christians have a problem with Halloween. But I'm choosing to attack. I am going to attack. I am not going to run from this. We are playing offense. When those guys are got their helmet on and they got the extra pads on, they have the extra equipment, that's offense. When they just have their regular equipment on, they're playing defense. We don't play defense here. We play offense. And we're going to give it everything we've got, every opportunity we have, because the stakes are that high. Now I think about the word offense, and then I think about me. And it suits me. Playing sports, I hate offense, but I love defense. But when it comes to the words coming out of my mouth, I don't know anybody that can make someone more angry than me. I have this way about me. Ask my son. I say things I shouldn't say. I do things that I shouldn't do. And the way I say them and the way I do them, even those things make people mad. I'm a professional, 45 years of making people angry, offending them. I was having a conversation with Galen Hendrickson yesterday. He's our missions director. He's the one that wrapped me into this thing. And I was sharing with him my latest adventures. And he said, did you cuss? I said, yeah, because I always do in that moment. And he said, well, next time, just call me and cuss at me. And I'm like, well, I'm doing my best. I can't help myself sometimes. If my mom's listening, I'm sorry. You know, when God is with Job, with the devil, and the devil's talking about the deal, and God says, well, have you considered my servant Job? He's so righteous, right? I thought, okay, God's probably up there thinking, okay, who's on my team that can really make somebody mad? Because I'm going to sick him on the devil. Have you considered my servant, Steve Spence? He's really good at making people mad. That's what I do. Battles. We are in them. But we're in them to win them. And we are moving forward. We have a battle in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we've got a fight on our hands. We were walking up and down the streets this weekend putting door hangers on doors in the neighborhood. It's the first time we've done any kind of canvassing in this neighborhood. We are picking a fight with the devil. And we're going to pray that the Lord is in this place, and when people walk in here, which I promise you, people will walk into this building that don't know Jesus, and they will be dressed in a way that we wouldn't dress, because they don't know the Lord. They don't know Jesus. Should we expect anything else? No, but we can love them, and we can do good to them, and we can bless them, and we can invite them to come back and to hear more about the Lord Jesus Christ. In about a month after that, we've got another battle on our hands, and that's Mill City Christmas on December 3rd. And then next spring, we've got another battle on our hands, and that's this thing called Easter. And then a few weeks after that, we've got another thing, and that's the women's conference. And then tomorrow morning at 5 in the morning, girls, those that are going to Springfield, you're getting on a bus here, you're going to go to Springfield, and God's going to meet you, and God's going to pour into you, and you're going to come back on fire, and that is picking a fight with the devil. We have a target on our back. And that's okay. Because we've been given all the equipment that we need to make it through and to see God do something amazing. Now, before we move on, I want to pray right now for the ladies going to Springfield. Heavenly Father, God, join with me. Heavenly Father, we just commit this to you. Lord, we pray for those ladies that are going to Springfield. You are going to meet them there. I pray first and foremost for those ladies across that arena that don't yet know you, that are going to have an opportunity to be introduced and make a commitment of their lives to you. And Father, we pray right now that you would break strongholds and that you would burst chains and that there would be ladies that would commit their lives to you and that it would be a life-changing weekend. I pray for those that do know you, that are looking for a spark, that maybe have a question, that just don't know what you have called for them. And God, I pray that you would speak clearly to them and you would infuse them with power and that they would come back, this bus ride would come back with 50 ladies changed forever on fire for you. God, I pray against the arguments. I pray against the disappointments. I pray against the anger. I pray against bitterness. I pray against all of those things that are not of you, and I pray that you would shine your face on them in a miraculous way. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know what we didn't do? We did not pray and fast for Easter last year. We did not pray and fast for Women's Conference last year. We had a week of fasting in January, and we'll do that every January. But we did not have a specific call to pray and fast for the things that are heightened when the 90-mile-an-hour fastball is coming at us. If we're not prepared for it, then we will fall. Or at best, we just won't be as effective as we could be. And we won't be prepared for the battle. We will have a 3-day fast the week before October 31st party. And I will send an email out for those 3 days. It'll be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. And Wednesday night's prayer meeting next week is going to be awesome. You don't want to miss it. We have called with the leadership a 21-day Daniel fast for Christmas, November 1st. Through November 21st. That'll end on a Tuesday. You'll have 2 days to prepare your body for Thanksgiving. And we're going to call on the Lord. When there are 2 days a year when people will go to church, then don't you think the devil knows that too? And he's going to do everything he can to keep people from being here. He's going to do everything he can just to make people sick. I remember, Jesse, last year you had work problems. Or were you sick also the week leading up to Mill City Christmas last year? I mean, it's those kinds of things that if we're not ready for it, then we're not ready for it and we're not prepared for the fight. So that's what we're going to do. Faith, the shield of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 says this, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I was preparing for this. I was led to 1 Samuel. And I want to look at it because I think we need to see faith in action. Because you can have faith, but if it's not tested and if it's not proved out, then it's words. But faith needs to be proven by action. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Philistines gathered their forces of war and assembled. Saul, verse 2, and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up the battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill, the Israelites on the other. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits. That's 9 feet, 9 inches. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. That's about 125 pounds. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels, 15 pounds just in the point. If that met your skin, it would be over. Goliath stood and he shouted at the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, then we will be your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Isn't that kind of the way the devil comes at you? Did God really say, if you really are the Son of God, then prove it? You won't surely die. God just, he's insecure. He knows that if you eat this, he knows that if you do this, then you'll be more like him, and then the secret's out, and it just won't be. Right? Isn't that the way he does this? He tempts you. He goes after you. He knows where your goat's tied up, right? The Philistine then said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing this, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That would say that God was not pleased by his army. Now, we know David's story. He's the youngest of these brothers. He was a shepherd. His brothers were part of Saul's army, and Jesse, his father, sent him with cheeses and other stuff to bring to his brothers. He gets there. He finds the army dismayed and terrified, polarized by this Goliath. You ever been polarized by a Goliath? You ever been scared of either something that you've done that you're going to have to meet your maker on? Maybe there's something that somebody's doing to you and you are dismayed and terrified. Verse 22, David left his things with the keeper of the supplies. He ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers, "Hey, how are you?" He has no idea what's about to happen. As he talked with them, Goliath stepped out. And he shouted his usual defiance. He's like a roaring lion. David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled in great fear. David asked the man standing near, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" That's David's feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. He knew God was on his side. David's older brother heard him, and he burned with anger at him. And he asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness?" Don't you love Christians? "I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." How's that for a faith booster? Thanks, brother. Kind of reminds me of Paul saying, "What does it matter?" Done. I mean, unless he's like, "Preached, I'll rejoice. Now, what have I done?" I mean, he's like, "What? I just showed up here. Are you kidding me? Just railing me, mouthful of teeth. Can I not even speak?" And then he turned away to somebody else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. And David was overheard, and this was reported to Saul. Saul sent for him. "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine," David said. "Your servant will go fight him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God." Saul even said, "You can't do that. You're just a kid. You can't fight him. He's been a warrior since youth." But wait a minute. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. David said to Saul, "Listen, I have been keeping my father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, I struck it, I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, I struck it, and I killed it. God is on my side. Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. His feet were fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. God is on my side. And if God be for me, then who can be against me?" So Saul says, "All right, well, go. God bless you." So Saul tried to dress him up in his own stuff. And he says, "Man, I can't go in this stuff. I'm not used to him." So he took him off. He took his staff and 5 smooth stones, and he put them in a pouch in his shepherd's bag. And with a sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, see, I can even exposit when I'm talking about something else. With a shield bearer in front of him, he kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and he saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, when God looks at you, he's proud of you. "You're my son. You're my daughter, and I'm well pleased with you," and the devil despises that. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And he cursed David by his gods. "Come here, and I'll give you your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, and he's looking for someone to devour. You need to resist him and stand firm in the faith." David said to the Philistine, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." David looks at him, "You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. This very day, I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Are we doing things? Are you doing things with your life so that your world knows that there is a God in heaven? That's what I want for my life. That's what I want for my children. You do anything you want with your life, you change your world. All those who gather here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saved. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Know what God says. Believe what God has said. That's the shield of faith. The worship team can come. What does God say? God says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, no temptation has overcome you except what is common to mankind. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Romans 6:14, sin will have no dominion over you. You are not under law, you are under grace. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, then who can be against us? 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That is the truth, and you need to know it, you need to believe it, and you need to put it into action. As the Philistines move closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. He reached into his bag, taking out a stone. He slung it, and he struck the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine. And David ran and stood over him, and he took hold of the Philistine's sword. He drew it from the sheath, and after he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. That's a good story, isn't it, Paul? That's playing offense. There's no defense there. And look at this. The Philistines saw that their hero was dead. They turned and they ran. James chapter 4 says this, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You just resist the devil, and he doesn't have a choice but to leave. I guess it brings up the question, what's your Goliath? What's the Goliath in your life? Is it your marital problems? Is it financial problems? Is it your children? How about a physical problem? Are you sick? Do you have something wrong that you need God? And you can't see beyond that mountain. How about a sin problem? Do you have something that you just can't seem to get over? Are you holding up the shield of faith? Are you holding it? Have you got the extra equipment on? Because there's a season in your life, there will be seasons in your life when you have to put on extra equipment to make it through the battle. What does God have to say about your Goliath? We know what he said to David. And then David had to choose to believe it. God has spoken. Paul put it this way, the God whose I am and whom I serve has spoken, and I believe God. The God whose I am and whom I serve has spoken to me, and I believe God. That's faith. That is faith. That is the shield that is going to protect you when that fastball comes right by your face. I leave you with this. 1 Peter chapter 5, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. I ask this question so often. Are you in the midst of a battle? Then stand because you're not alone. No, ask it tonight. Are you in the midst of a battle? Stand up. Stand up. You know the family of believers is on your side. They're experiencing the same things. You are not alone. The devil wants to make you think you're alone. He wants to destroy your promise. He wants to destroy the word that God's given you, and you can't let him. You need to hold up the shield of faith, because when those fiery darts are coming at you, you got to have something to believe in to make it through that time. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power and forever and ever. Amen.